Well, welcome to Unity Center Light. My name is Reverend Millage Mosby.
And my name is Pam Mosby.
We welcome you again to our From Our Home to Your Home. We are live streaming this morning and look forward to, you know, sharing some exciting service with you. And just an explanation of why we are live streaming. We actually had pre-recorded a service for this morning, but after watching the news last night and seeing all the things that were going on, we decided to bring a totally different message this morning. So we look forward to sharing that with you today. And I'm going to let Pamela start the service this morning.
Good morning and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Let's start with affirming our mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. And now we will have our daily word reading. The daily word for today, Sunday, May 31st, keyword is love. And the affirmation is, I am a loving presence to everyone I meet. It has been said that the world needs more love. The truth is that all the love the world could ever need is already present everywhere, because God is love, and God is present everywhere. Created in God's image, I am divine love in human expression. I know that love is much more than a positive feeling. Divine love is the energy of oneness itself. As I remain centered in divine love, I know oneness in God with all people, including those who are dear to me and those I have never met. Divine love helps me see good everywhere and in everyone. I look beyond conflict and limitation and find the good that is always mine to discover. And the scripture is John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God.
Thank you, hon. So before I get started, too, I just want to share with you that Pam and I are both the presenters and the audio-video team. And so it's really interesting doing both of these at the same time. So if a little slip-up happens, you know what's going on. But anyway, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, a lot going on, a lot of unrest, you know, in the country and in the world, you know, to say the least. The threat of the coronavirus, folks struggling to recover from it, mass unemployment, folks not knowing, you know, where their next meal is coming from, small and big businesses not knowing if they will survive. You know, there's loneliness, there is depression, frustration, you know, and then there is the history repeating itself in Minneapolis. And the choice, you know, we are presented with is protest or prayer. And neither can really be considered right or wrong, good or bad. You know, they're both legitimate choices, justifiable according to where you are in consciousness. You know, they both have almost, you know, the same kind of energy coming from them, depending on how they're carried out. Some protest in silence, others protest outwardly. But at some level, we all experience the emotion of protest in one way or another, in our own way. If you look at Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi, you know, they could be considered powerful prayer warriors who protested in a peaceful way to bring international attention to injustice. And thousands of people are protesting COVID-19 by giving up their medical and scientific talent, their time volunteering at medical facilities, food distribution centers, helping in their neighborhoods, you know, where the neighbors are in need, and so much more. You know, and also we're, you know, going to continue our the exploration of how in this process we can deal with all these things that are happening through the power of prayer to help shift our consciousness and the consciousness of others to a place of peace and love and compassion. And if prayer is entered into with conviction, it can have the greatest impact on inspiring significant change in all of us. So whereas you can see the power of conviction, you know, to affect change in the protester, which is often what is needed to draw attention to injustice, you can't always see the power of prayer coming, in the same perspective as you see a protester coming. Prayer projected towards a situation quietly enters into people's souls, undetected, silently affecting change that they can't really explain. So if you're working with the power of prayer, if you are, I like to use the term prayer warrior, but I know some people don't like the term warrior. But if you're, you know, if you're working with the power of prayer, you can affect change in people. And like I said, a lot of times that change happens and people don't know why they're changing. They don't know they don't know that they're being impacted by the prayer that you're sending out. And if you look at, you know, Greg Braden, who is a scientist, he explained that if the square root of the population is in prayer around a particular situation, those prayers can affect change in the whole population. And he actually did experiments, you know, around the country here and around the world. Actually, here in Washington, D.C., he did an experiment to show that if a certain percentage of the population of Washington, D.C. was praying, they actually brought down the crime rate in Washington, D.C. during that prayer time. So today we're going to explore how we can be part of the square root that Greg Braden is talking about. And you heard me quote in the past lessons that some of the great mystics say, you know, we cannot pray as we are. Now, I have sort of a yes and no response to that, meaning I believe we can and do pray as we are, but just not at the same level of total surrender that the mystics are referring to. So to set the stage for this lesson, let me just explain. A mystic is one who seeks by contemplation and total surrender to obtain unity with the allness we call God. So the key to the mystic is in their prayer process, what they're seeking is total surrender so they can obtain unity with this allness we call God. So they're not seeking to pray to God. They're seeking to enter into the dimension that we call God and then praying from that dimension. That's a much bigger sacrifice than we are even capable maybe of understanding what that's all about. But we're going to try to look at some of those tools that we can use and start to move in that direction. So this idea of total surrender to the Holy Presence in prayer is what we will explore. And the question we need to ask ourselves before embarking on this prayer journey is, am I willing to follow the way of the mystic towards total surrender? That's a question we need to look at. Am I willing to let go and let God use me as an instrument of change in these very challenging times? There was an article in a past yoga journal on a line from the book Gandhi's Passion, and it expressed that even a Mahatma cannot save us if we're not willing to be saved. Now, a Mahatma is a title of respect for a person renowned for having great spiritual knowledge and a love for all of humanity. So similarly, we could say, even the Christ cannot save us if we're not willing to be saved. So some may be asking, well, what do I need to be saved from? Well, remember, this is years ago, I did this talk and I used the word kenosis. Kenosis meaning I must get myself out of my own way so that I can become filled with the Holy Presence, right? So praying from the consciousness filled with the Holy Presence produces the most highly accelerated mind action known. So according to the Revealing Word, continuous prayer steps up the mental action of our mind until our consciousness actually synchronizes with God mind. You know, and at this level of prayer, we can affect very powerful change. So that's what we're seeking to do in prayer, is sort of not just ask for changes in the world, but ask for changes in ourselves that brings us to a level of consciousness where we can truly see the change in the world, all right? So, you know, have the willingness to make the shift from personal consciousness to spiritual consciousness that can pray at the powerful level that we talk about that demands a transformation, you know, that is greater than we have calculated when we decided to enter this prayer life. That's the challenge, you know, because when, you know, when we enter this prayer life, we did not really calculate what we had to do, what we had to give up, what we had to become in order to enter this high, very high level of prayer. So this high level of prayer has a cost attached to it that might very well be beyond what we have planned to pay. Okay. Now listen to this parable from Jesus that talks about this. He says, you know, Jesus explains that why we need to understand this idea is that, and it comes from Luke 14, 27, 33, the parable he uses, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now here's the part about the calculation. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether or not he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build, was not able to finish. Now here's the line that sort of tells, from Jesus, it tells what the spiritual transformation cost. He said, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you're not willing to give up all of your possessions. So the scripture tells us that we must carefully consider what it will cost us to build a spiritual life, a life of prayer. Situations like what is occurring right now are always popping up in our lives that demand that we pay something in the form of giving up some aspect of ourselves or some part of our lives that we had not previously calculated into the equation of what it would cost us to live the prayerful life. So in the book Power versus Force, the author points out that in theory, everyone's actions are valid according to the nature of their individual consciousness, meaning our individual personal viewpoints about life may not make sense to others, but they do make sense to us. And I don't know if it's April or Patty's, one of their parents would say, you know, when you say, I don't understand why they do that or why they think that. And I think the answer was, if you understood why they do or think that, then you would have the same mindset, all right? So when you ask yourself the question, you can almost say, well, I'm glad I don't think that way, if that is important to you, all right? So each of us thinks and speaks and acts according to the nature of how we view ourselves. And how we need, with us Mother's Day, and the ladies were getting ready to play a Mother's Day song, and the guys started cutting grass outside. How many of you guys remember that? All right. But it's the same kind of thing. It'll go off in a minute. So when we, as true students, are emotionally knocked off balance, this inner disturbance may be equivalent to allowing outer situations to rob us of our, you know, our prayer work, the work that we've been doing to keep ourselves connected to spirit. So the key here is that we need to learn how to become an instrument of peace. And let me just look at this next slide from Matthew. Matthew 21:13. It's recorded that Jesus said, it is written, my house should be called a house of prayer. Okay? But you make it a den of thieves, meaning we allow ourselves to be thrown off, you know, our prayer center, and we are in effect, when we allow ourselves to be thrown off our prayer center, we are in effect letting ourselves be robbed of our prayerfulness, our peacefulness, okay? So this statement is not meant to negate the importance of our emotional feelings. It's meant to help us understand, you know, we always need to know where our spiritual center is. That's the key, all right? So that in times of great tragedy, no matter how we are emotionally impacted, we can easily find our way back to our spiritual center, because through our dedicated prayer practice, we are so familiar with where it is. Let me say it again, okay? The reason why we want to spend a lot of time in our prayer center through dedicated prayer practice is so that when we're knocked off of our spiritual center, we will know how to get back to that center because we have spent so much time there. So we each have strong opinions, beliefs, and prejudices. Let me just ask Pam, how's it going? Okay. All right. We'll just let it go. No problem. Yeah. Okay. So we'll just have to go with that. Again, that's another challenge of doing these from, you know, these presentations from home. But anyway, so we each have, you know, strong opinions, beliefs, prejudices, fears, and emotional energy, you know, about all kinds of things. Emotional energy that reigns supreme within us, causing us to wage war within ourselves and against others. It's back to Deep Space Nine, where Worf would say, you know, the greatest battle we fight is the battle within ourselves, all right? So we also have a lot of pride about things that cause our ego to become, you know, puffed up with an exaggerated, you know, sense of our own viewpoints about things. And I know this may be difficult to understand because we are always told to build our self-esteem, because in order to be successful in life, you need to personally feel worthy of success. And that's absolutely true. It's true at the level of the personal self, okay? But from the perspective of the spiritual journey, self-worth, self-esteem, self-actualization are not the end game. These self-concepts are essential, but eventually they must give way to the spiritual self. So it's sort of the idea of Maslow's hierarchy. You know, Maslow's hierarchy, the top point is self-actualization. But if you go out onto YouTube now and you you search for Maslow's hierarchy, you'll see lots of examples coming up where they're now showing the level above self-actualization, which is actually transcendence, okay? So the idea of self-actualization is just the commencement, the beginning at which you are strong enough to begin evolving to the level of transcendence. So I think it was in a book, Power versus Force, or other books I was reading, I was saying, you have to feel a strong sense of yourself in order to move to the level of consciousness that we're talking about. So the idea of self-actualizing, and it doesn't mean you do so many great things in the world, but it's sort of within your own being, you self-actualize, and you're ready to begin the work for self-actualization. Okay? So the level of transcendence is where you begin to understand that you are the receptacle into which the divine is continuously pouring great ideas and great compassion that can lead to great faith, peace, wisdom, and love. So this means that all that flows from God mind flows through our mind. But at the level of the personal self, we are often clueless as to what is really happening between us and God. All right? And I think some of you can relate to what I'm talking about. You know, you think to yourself, you know, what is going on? You know, I'm having these thoughts, but they don't really mesh with my existing thinking. God ideas are usually designed to push you outside of your, you know, your usual thinking. So as Jesus said in Mark 18, having eyes, why is it you do not see? And having ears, why is it you do not hear? And in Matthew 13, 19, he says, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said, when one hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. Okay, so now the evil one is the ego. You know, poor ego gets the bad rap in the Bible, but you know, the evil one is the ego. It's the aspect of our psyche that believes that it is the reigning king of our mind and body. So our ego snatches away the divine love and spiritual understanding that is sown in our hearts and reduces them to a mere shadow of their original intent. Now, let me just see if I can say that again. So when we get these divine ideas, and they come to us all the time, the ego grabs the idea and tries to claim it for itself, that it's coming up with this idea, all right? But in grabbing it for itself, it's almost like pulling a piece of fruit off the tree before it is ripe, okay? I know there are monks that will not even eat the fruit until it has fallen off the tree. So the idea here is that when this divine idea comes to you, is not to grab it and claim it as yours, but to just sit and be with it, okay? And let it, you know, mature and grow inside of you until you reach a point where you can understand it in its original nature. Okay? So we must awaken to the fact that even though we say we are on the spiritual path, we still indulge our ego's battle to maintain its ground. We desperately hold on to the wealth of self-indulgent beliefs and opinions and, you know, preconceived notions that we possess. But keep in mind when Jesus said, "None of you can become my disciples if you're not willing to give up all your possessions." That's the challenge. So the question we each must ponder is, do I want to make the shift from personal consciousness to spiritual consciousness? Or would I rather just hold on to all of my mental, emotional possessions, you know, hold on to my present way of thinking, believing, behaving? As Jesus said, we may be trying to build a tower without first sitting down and calculating the cost. You might be thinking to yourself, but, you know, in my job, in my relationships, in my, you know, in many areas of my life, especially with what is occurring in the world right now, it's imperative that I express, you know, sometimes even force my opinion. And yes, I agree. In our lives, it most definitely seems necessary to have emotional responses to what is happening in this country and in the world. Because I know that I do, all right? That's what led me to write this talk. It's really so much I'm giving it to you as I'm giving it to myself. Because my spiritual journey, you know, says that I need to give up a lot of my emotional possessions, you know, and I'm questioning my ability to do that. So the spiritual path is not saying you should say nothing or do nothing, even though sometimes that might be the best course of action. What we are exploring is how to use our minds to be open to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit as to what to say and what to do and when to say and when to do. You get it? It's not through saying don't do anything. It's you wait for that guidance that tells you, you know, how to move forward. Simply, we're learning how to live by the rule, not my will, but thine be done, okay? So, to paraphrase Jesus in John 19, the Son will, now notice that word, the Son will, I put that in quotes for a reason, the Son will do nothing of his own accord, but watching in prayer and meditation, he sees and does only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise, okay? Now, the Son will do nothing. Okay, that's the key I wanted you to pay attention to. So the key to expanding your consciousness through prayer is this idea. Prayer is the arena in which you watch for God direction. And yes, I do realize that in the beginning, the only thing you may experience in prayer is your own mental, emotional drama. I mean, I know because that's what happens to me, all right? Okay, this drama goes through my head. I'm sorry. My wife just let me know that I didn't move myself back over. Okay. So, you get this mental emotional drama going through your head. But with practice, you eventually slip out of your ego space and into your God space. All right. Let me say that again. With practice and prayer, you eventually move out of your ego space and into your God space, which is the realm of unconditional love in its uncompromised state. Now, what I mean by uncompromised state is typically when we become conscious of love, we compromise it with our own conditions. Okay? What we're looking to do in prayer is enter into that God space, that realm of unconditional love in its uncompromised state. However, what we must come to understand is that there is tremendous cost involved for admission into God's arena of infinite divine ideas and compassion. Jesus said you must give up all of your self-indulgent mental emotional possessions. And most of us are just not ready to do that, okay? But as Billy Crystal said in the movie, Analyze That, this is a process, right? And this process involves the gradual expansion of your consciousness through prayer. So in one of my daily readings from the Utmost for the Highest, it says this. It says, Jesus' primary consideration is my absolute annihilation of my right to myself so that I'll be available to have complete identification with Him. Okay? This means having a relationship with Him in which there is no other relationship. That's almost, for the Course in Miracles folks, that's almost a Course in Miracles idea. I mean, Alfred and Allison and some of the others can tell me later if that they think that's sort of almost a Course in Miracles idea. Now, again, but this is another one of those concepts that needs some explaining. But if you think about it for a moment, you begin to understand that you have a true relationship with your indwelling Christ when you come into contact with others. If you have this true relationship with your own indwelling Christ, when you come into a relationship with others, what you will see is their indwelling Christ. You know the idea, the Christ in me beholds the Christ in you. So let me just repeat that. When you really get in touch with your own indwelling Christ, when you come into interaction with others, what you will see is their indwelling Christ. And I know with what's going on in the world and all the things that are happening, that's a really challenging thing to do. But what we're investigating is understanding where we are and where we're trying to get to. So, you know, if you find yourself becoming emotionally caught up in something that's happening in the world, which is absolutely normal and okay, we're not saying there's anything wrong with that. Whatever is happening that is upsetting you is helping you to understand that you still have a lot more prayer work to do to help you to receive the guidance as to what is yours to do to bring about peace in yourself and in others and in the situation, okay? And yes, this spiritual journey, you know, is a tough road to travel. But from all indications in the Bible and other great mystical books, you know, that we've looked at, this is a journey we're here to take. We are here to affect change, okay? With prayer being our guiding light. So again, this really challenges where we presently are in consciousness, right? And that's the thing that we've got to work with. It challenges where we are in consciousness. We're full of reason, good, justifiable, legitimate reasons as to what we should choose. It's why we should choose a particular response, you know, other than prayer. And we can come up with them. We can say, well, no, with this situation, you know, this takes more than prayer. And it may take more than prayer, but the more than that you need to do comes from prayer, if that makes sense. Okay? So, yes, it may take more than prayer, but you need to spend time in prayer. What did I say earlier? To know what to say, what to do, and when to say it, and when to do it. Okay? So, the key here is that we're still trying to grasp, you know, and understand the idea that we talk about here in Unity Center of Light all the time. We're trying to understand really that there is a power within us that's far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And with dedicated practice, we can learn to use this power to affect a miraculous change in ourselves, in the world. Sorry. So it explains again in the daily inspiration of most to its highest. It says, you know, and I like this. The look of Jesus transforms, penetrates, and captivates. Where you are soft and pliable, willing to be forgiving and loving, compassionate, this is where the Lord has looked at you. If you are hard and vindictive, insistent on having your own way, and always certain that, you know, the other person is more likely to be wrong than you are, then there are whole areas of your nature that have never been transformed by Jesus's loving, compassionate glance. Okay? So this week, this day, this moment, think about the things you're struggling with and ask yourself, am I willing to renounce all these thoughts, emotions, feelings that I have about this situation, about this person, or whatever, so that I can be open and receptive to receiving the loving, healing gaze of the Christ? Or simply, am I willing to allow God to make me an instrument of peace? And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So now find yourself in a really comfortable space. Let us center ourselves and prepare for a quiet time with God. You may close your eyes, place your feet flat on the floor, and think about straightening your spine. We begin by taking in 3 deep cleansing breaths. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Once again, deeply in and slowly out. Continue with your rhythmic breathing and join me in acknowledging the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit active in our lives and affairs. We decree our oneness with this power as we each have been made in the image and likeness of God. We are all God's children and heirs to God's kingdom. As I quiet my thoughts, I experience the loving presence of God. I may not know what the future holds for me, yet I do know that God's Spirit is within me and goes before me. Becoming quiet, I allow myself to experience the loving presence of God with every fiber of my being. Knowing that God will never forsake me, I am relieved of fear and anxiety. God is powerful enough to have created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and to have sent mighty rivers surging across the ground to forge immense canyons. Yet, God is gentle enough to have created the delicate petals of a fragile flower. God created me, and being a part of God's majesty greatly blesses me. At this time, let us take that journey to the secret place of the Most High, a place of peace, love, joy, and faith. We enter through the doorway, take a seat, and in the silence, we pray. As you pray, please remember and pray for families of all who are victims of unnecessary violence. Pray for the perpetrators, the protesters, police, and all who are in fear for their lives. And now we will go into that quiet time. We are thankful, gracious Spirit, that you have heard and answered our prayers as you always do. We go forth in the faith that all is well with our souls. We give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Please bring your awareness now back to your surroundings and to your day, and remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. That was wonderful. So, as we always do, this is a time when we give true thanks for all the wonderful blessings and, you know, things that come into our lives. And we are thankful for the blessings that in the donations you have been sending to Unity Center of Light. It has really been a true blessing. Of all the wonderful donations you've shared with us. For those who are maybe new with us, you can always go to our website, unitycenteroflight.org, and make a donation there. You can do it through PayPal, and you can do it through just sending a check if that, you know, works for you. But, you know, let's say our affirmation together. And what I ask you to do is actually hold it in your hand or hold it in your mind. If you have already given, we know that there are people who give automatically through debit on their accounts, and we truly appreciate that. But let's do our prayer together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. And so it is. Amen. All right. So light notes for the day. Again, light notes are always pretty much the same. You're getting two different documents a week. One is the e-newsletter that comes from April a couple of times a week, and one is the weekly update that comes from Patty a couple of times a week. And that lets you know what other things are going on. Now, we are actually in a Zoom session right now. I mean, Pamela and I are in a YouTube session, live streaming this. But there are people in Zoom who are there watching, and we'll be joining them shortly. If you have not joined a Sunday Zoom service with us, you know, you get a chance to see, you know, many of your friends from Unity. So please take the time to do that if you have not done it yet. So with that, so those are the documents that will help you to know what's going on during the week. So just one last thing. It wasn't too bad, huh? Other than the air conditioner coming on. And right? Again, it's the fun of doing this from home. We check so many things. There is still a noise that we've heard, we're hearing that you can put, that we don't know where it's coming from. Right? But it was a joy bringing this to you this morning. And
yes,
we're going to end with our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So we will see you in a moment in Zoom. If not, have a great week.